Within Christianity, there are many different ways of viewing wealth, and there have been over the centuries. Like, for instance, some would say any kind of wealth is evil. Okay? A Christian should have an absolute bare minimum to survive. Okay? Maybe one robe, one pair of shoes, you know, one coat, sleep on a rock, you know, whatever. And maybe you don't even own that, you just borrow it from people. But an absolute bare minimum, because a wealthy person is especially sinful, right? It's almost like people take this idea that blessed is the poor in spirit and say blessed is the poor, okay? Now, another view of wealth is that wealth is okay, but it's an obstacle to faith. So you need to be careful. You need to be aware of the dangers of wealth. Wealth can easily lead to sin, and of course, we should avoid sin. John Wesley may have had that idea in mind when he said that he told his audiences to earn all they can, save all they can, and give away all they can. Okay, that like money's okay, but you need to be giving away, and you need to be careful with it. Another view is that everything we have, including our wealth, of course, everything we have is our wealth, is a gift from God. Some have more, some have less, based on the wisdom of God. And, you know, it's all really God's, so that we need to use our wealth the way God wants us to do. We call that stewardship. Thank you. My mind went completely blank there. We call that something. Yeah, stewardship. You know, a fourth view is that wealth is a sign of being a Christian. That God wants us healthy and wealthy. So that often in this, a combination of faith and positive speaking and donation to specific Christian ministries, usually the one teaching it, that will always create an increase in your material wealth. So that material wealth isn't just good, but if you're a true Christian with a lot of faith, you will be wealthy. Now, no matter what one's view on wealth, okay, wealthy is a relative term. We have different standards of what's enough. We have different standards of too much. You know, it's similar to, I think, the way we have our standard of speed as we go down the highway. Anybody going slower than us, it's just a slowpoke. Anybody going faster than us is a speed demon and they're reckless, right? What we have is the right amount of speed. And the same thing with wealth can be. I was talking to some people this past Thursday, and a wealthy person is somebody who has a bicycle where they're from. That if you have enough that you can own a bicycle, I mean, that is just up there. So I guess I'm wealthy because not only do we have two bicycles, one for each of us, but we don't even ride them. So I guess it's kind of like somebody with extra cars in their garage and they don't even drive them around. Yeah. I'd like us to hear a parable that Jesus uses when he talks about wealth. Okay, so this is Luke chapter 12, starting at verse 13. So Jesus is in a crowd of people, and someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, this would be everybody, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." Okay, now that's one of the main points here. Life does not consist of abundance of possessions. That's not the center of life. Okay, the definition of a successful life is not he who dies with the most toys wins. Okay, Continuing on, and he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded of you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God." Now, if you would keep your Bibles open, you might want to refer to some more farther down that text. Now, in Scripture, a fool is someone who rejects the knowledge of God, the precepts of God, someone who doesn't listen to God's way of living, so that God doesn't form the basis for their life. That's what a fool is. When you look at the wisdom literature in the Old Testament, a fool is someone who doesn't live a godly life. You know, a fool is someone whose lifestyle denies God. And the problem with this man isn't his wealth, right? I mean, he owns land, and he gets an abundance of crops. Great, right? It's not his wealth, but his problem is that he's not rich toward God. See, the very end of this parable, this is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but isn't rich toward God. It's not, this is how it will be for anybody who has wealth. It's who stores up things for themselves, but doesn't consider God, isn't rich toward God. See, the man is living for himself. He's not honoring God. You know, he could have said, you know, I mean, as a rich man, he probably had tenants. This is probably, you know, like a big kind of a farm thing where he has people living on the farm and helping with all this. You know, what about, you know, I've got all this extra grain. Why don't I give each of you some extra too? And, you know, what about, you know, I wonder if there's other people who are needy, and if I have to keep all of it? But this guy is keeping everything for himself, and he's not honoring God. So I think in the way we would talk, we would say this man doesn't have a relationship with God. God doesn't matter to him. He's not listening to God. God's not really part of the man's plan. The man's grain and the easy way of life that it means for him is very important to this man. You know, I'm going to eat and drink and be merry. I'm going to take it easy. Right? I'm on easy street now. But God isn't in the middle of all this. So now, if later on today you'd like to continue down and read the rest of Luke chapter 12, you'll see that Jesus goes on and he says, you know, don't worry about having belongings. You know, in fact, don't even worry about having enough to eat and drink. You know, seek God first, Jesus says. Put God first. The first priority in your life needs to be God, not stuff, not your job. See, it's not that your job is bad. It's not that working is bad. It's that God needs to be first. And if you put God first, God will give you what you need. So, how many of us are more concerned with our relationship with God than we are, say, keeping our house up? You know, how many of us are more concerned with our relationship with God than making sure the rent gets paid? You know? If you had to choose between a strong relationship with God or your perfect job, which would you pick? Raising children, raising grandchildren, raising great-grandchildren. all those kind of things, right? How many of us are more concerned that our children know God than that they know how to make a living? Not that it's bad to learn how to make a living. Okay, I'm not saying that we ignore all other education of our children. But what's most important? When we started homeschooling, that was a grand question we spent time talking about. Now, we worked really, really hard at making sure our kids knew what they needed to know. And we found people who could teach what we couldn't teach and all kinds of things. But we really tried to make our education process with our kids and vacation process and just what we would do. We really tried to make it that our children would follow God first. Now, we can't force them, but we can guide them. We can lead them, right? When it came to learning geometry, I could force them, but those are some other stories that would be fun to share someday. So Jesus is not saying that he's not saying that having a job and having a home isn't important. He's not saying that. He's just saying that knowing God and following God is more important. God needs to be first. Our hearts need to be pointed at heavenly things, not earthly things. To the wise person, as opposed to the fool, the wise person recognizes that all these things that are on earth are temporary, right? I mean, the only real permanent thing around here is people. The house you have will be gone eventually. Or you will. And you're not going to take it with you, right? I mean, you could have your favorite gold-plated Ferrari buried in the ground with you in it. You still don't really get to take it with you, right? If, by the way, if you have a favorite gold-plated Ferrari, I'd like to talk. Maybe Donald Trump has one of those. Wouldn't that, anyway. But we recognize these things are temporary. You know, God says to the man in Jesus' parable, who's going to get all this stuff you prepared for yourself? You're not. You know, you don't take it with you. It's all going to be gone. But God isn't. The wise person knows that God is more important. So really, greed is the problem, not having wealth. The fact that the man is rich isn't the problem. It's the fact that he doesn't want to talk about God. He's greedy. Greed is an intense, selfish desire for something or for things, okay? And you know, by the way, when we say selfish, selfishness is subtle. You know, it's really easy to convince ourselves we need something really grand so that we can honor God, right? A Ferrari isn't enough. If I'm going to honor God, it really needs to be a gold-plated Ferrari. I mean, just imagine how much outreach I can do with that. It would be fun to try. I got to say, it would be fun to try. I know that a 5,000 square foot home is enough for my wife and I, but if I had a 10,000 square foot home with an enclosed indoor pool, just imagine how many people I could invite over and witness. Yeah, you know. Nate's thinking, invite me. And I can try to say to myself, this is all about reaching people for Christ, but really it's about me going out and swimming in the pool whenever I want. You know, selfishness can be very subtle. So the question before us each, the question before you is, will you seek God first? Do you seek God first? Is he before everything else? That's the question. And I have a few comments to help us think about that, yeah? I'll be done by 2. I hope. I will. I promise. I will be done before 2 o'clock. Okay? You can hold me to that. There we go. Okay. Some of you are getting very nervous, and some of you recognize that I do that. So, but it's a few thoughts. You don't have to be wealthy to be greedy. If you want to sit here and say to yourself, I don't have enough to be greedy, you can have very little and have a very intense, selfish desire for things. I know plenty of people who have very little. And they can even be generous with what they have. But they have this obsession with having lots more. You know, I need to find somebody in my life who has more money than I could possibly spend. And then I will be happy. Most people don't say it quite like that. But that's kind of where they're heading to. Right? If I only had another shelf of books, okay? Right. Not that I'm trying to get personal there, Paul, but actually that was for Jody, because Jody was the one who said he can't have enough books. That was in defense of Dave sitting back there, because he controls the sound system. Also, greed doesn't have to be about money, right? We can be greedy for power and control. Maybe for safety. See, now, the thing is, some of these things, I mean, these things are good unless we become overly enraptured by them, okay? You know, I can become oversensitive about safety, about protecting me and protecting mine and not honoring God anymore. Appearing perfect, you know? Other than Jody, nobody is. So, you know, I do something now positive. I can't let anybody ever see my mistakes. I have to appear perfect. Or maybe receiving affirmation, receiving accolades. It's great to be recognized. But do I really, really chase that? And will I do things that God would never want in order to get honor? Greed doesn't have to be about money. And just a few things yet that greed can look like that you might not think of. One of them would be hoarding. Greed can look like hoarding. Needing more and more, even if I can't really use it, right? I just have to have more. You know the people who can't enter their homes anymore, right? Because there's so much stuff. It stifles generosity. I know hoarders who just cannot give it away, right? I mean, rooms full of stuff, and if they're not careful, it's going to fall on top of them and crush them. And they cannot use it or give it away. Overspending. Sometimes things happen, right? But especially for, you know, the frivolous stuff, the consumer kind of stuff, right? Spending more money than I have, significantly. I mean, how many people do you know that just have crushing credit card debt for stuff that they didn't need? You know, I mean, some of us have crushing debt for things that we had to get, you know, or, you know, sometimes medical expenses come up or stuff, right? And sometimes the house mortgage can just seem incredibly stifling. And some people would say you should never buy a house, you should never buy anything on credit. I'm not trying to say that, but what about the idea of racking myself all the way up to the very limit of my ability to pay off the interest for stuff, you know? My problem is I only have one television in every room of the house, including the bathroom. And the one television is only 72 inches. And that's just too small. And I got to have the new one, right? Or, you know what I'm saying. Overspending. It's people, I think, easily we confuse what we want with what we need. Right? Do we really need everything we say we need? If we have the money, that's one thing. But if we're overspending, it's a whole different issue. The other one would be entitlement. Okay, somebody owes me. I'm entitled. life owes me. I don't have the money for this, so somebody else needs to buy it for me. Right? I deserve it. Right? I deserve a gold-plated Ferrari. I really do. No, I don't. So it's up to one of you to buy it for me, you know, quickly. It's up to somebody else to pay all the maintenance bills, because there's no way I'd be able to afford to drive a Ferrari. But entitlement. Please, I don't want a gold-plated Ferrari. Even, I can just picture one of you is going to go to a toy store, and I'm going to get like a matchbox or this little thing. Somebody is thinking about this. No, thank you. I really was kidding. Marilyn. Uh-huh. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to have to build this little tiny garage so I can park all my little Ferraris in there. And okay. And a little air conditioner on the side. Oh, man. Before God, what is it we're entitled to? You know, although with Christ in our life, as followers of Christ, God says we're saved. He says we are His. We're His children. That's a promise. Not that we're inherently entitled to it, but God has promised it to us. So no matter what we have or don't have, and as we sit here, most of us have things we want, right? Whatever you have or don't have, most of us have things we have we don't want, too. But let us seek God first. That's the point. Let us chase Him. Let us live to please Him.